So stop me if you've heard this one. A Canadian and American walks into a donut shop, and the Canadian says, "Welcome to wherever you are. You're listening to Wicked Little Town, the offshoot of the regular matinee cast, dedicated to the goings-on at the Toronto International Film Festival, happening right now until September 16th.
Yeah.
Okay, here in Toronto, Canada. I am Ryan McNeil, as always, and I have a guest in front of me, not nearly as always. I have Jess Rogers in front of me for the first time in the 2 years or so that we've known each other.
Yes.
Welcome to my fair city.
Thank you.
I know you've been here before, but this is your first time for all these shenanigans.
Digging deep, yeah.
Yeah. It's Sunday night. We're both kind of tired, which I'm sure you can hear in our voices, so we do apologize. We have just come out of a film that we're not really going to discuss too terribly much. It was a Spanish film called Painless. Which I think it's fair to say neither one of us cared a great deal for. You can look it up. It does have some interesting things about it. It's backdropped against the Spanish Civil War, which you would think could kind of lead towards some Pan's Labyrinth type stuff.
Some drama.
Or possibly something like The Orphanage, which unfortunately this did not. You though do have to see The Orphanage.
I will.
We are though going to talk about a film that we saw earlier today. We saw the new film from David O. Russell, The Silver Linings Playbook, starring Bradley Cooper, Jennifer Lawrence, and many others. This is going to be spoiler-free because the film, of course, doesn't come out until December, I think, November. It doesn't come out until the winter, anyway. So we're not going to get too far into the actual nitty-gritty of it. But why don't you tell people a little bit about what the actual film's about, in case they haven't even heard about it, because I know a lot of people
actually. I hadn't.
Yeah.
Until I looked through the playlist here at TIFF. So Bradley Cooper is just getting out of a mental hospital. He's just been sprung by his mother, played by
Jackie Weaver.
She was awesome.
Yeah.
Underplayed it all the way, but perfect. And basically, it seems like he's been sprung because his father believes that he brings luck to the Eagles. Yes, the Philadelphia Eagles football team. It's kind of a thought that came later, but he's undiagnosed bipolar and has basically screwed up his life by beating the crap out of a guy who was having an affair with his wife.
Right.
And now he's trying to get his life back in order. And he runs into Jennifer Lawrence, who's about as screwed up as he is. Not quite. She's hospitalized, let's say.
Yeah, and she's like a friend of a friend.
Right. She's his best friend's wife's sister.
Yeah.
Julia Stiles was the wife's
that caught me off
sister
guard.
Too. That
yeah.
was weird.
It actually, I kind of had to double take. I was like, wait, that's Julia Stiles.
Exactly. Playing
I think I'm kind of used to. I'm used to seeing her at like age 18 or 19.
And in the league.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So seeing her now threw me for a little bit.
Right, and then basically Jennifer Lawrence says she'll help him get back in touch with his wife because there's restraining orders all over the place.
Yeah,
he's really unstable.
Yeah.
In return, he has to learn to dance.
Yeah, which I and it's a curious little arrangement, and
it didn't feel contrived though. It really could have, but it didn't.
No, now this is your first festival, which we'll talk a little bit more about in a second. But were you kind of surprised that like a film like this was playing here?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not very indie, although every now and then there are lots of really famous films that come out of TIFF,
yeah.
Like The King's Speech 2 years ago, and
big
ones.
Eazy-A played a few years ago.
Right.
Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist played a few years ago.
Things that people knew about and people know that it's coming to TIFF.
Yeah.
This was an odd one. I mean, Robert De Niro plays his father.
Very well.
Very well. And you can see where he gets this bipolar. Like, his father's been banned from going into Eagles Stadium because he beats up people.
I'm actually, you know, now that I think about that, that was actually the just you mentioning that actually got it sparked in my brain. That might be the first time I've liked Robert De Niro in a long, long time. He has started playing some really dumb characters. He's taken a lot of paychecks.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been a cartoon of himself.
he managed to rein it in for this one.
Yes.
A lot.
Yes. He's like, he's still very off the wall. Like, I can imagine a trailer cut of him. Even though I posted the trailer on the matinee, I haven't actually watched it. So I am going to be kind of curious today. I'll go back, see what I was getting into.
You should.
And see how it's sold. And maybe that'll be something I talk about when I post about how it is sold.
Right.
But no, Robert De Niro, welcome back.
He was good.
Yeah. And speaking of welcome back, Chris Tucker is in
so
this
good.
Movie as well. And he is playing a different version than we have come used to of him.
Right. Although he is a fellow mental patient of Bradley Cooper, who keeps getting sprung and returned, let's say.
Yes.
He's very
funny.
He's like
funny. A bad Eddie.
he blends really well with this cast, mm-hmm. which you list these people and they wouldn't blend. But
no.
David O. Russell did such a good job with the directing.
You know, I can't remember. We were talking earlier on about some of the directors that we like and don't like. Do you like the David O. Russell? Do you like stuff like The Fighter and
I really like The
I
Fighter.
I heard all these you were saying you were.
Yeah, it's one of those I think I feel if I'd seen it many more times, I would have liked it. I like a lot of the cast. I liked the topic. It was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I like Three Kings.
Good for you. No, just it's, anybody who doesn't like Three Kings, I have no time for them.
I mean, I'm not a huge fan of war movies, but it's better than that.
It's a different kind of war.
Yeah,
movie.
So, yeah.
Now, I got to thinking earlier, many moons ago, you tried to have a podcast conversation about romantic comedies that did not go all that well. And I think it was that romantic comedies have, like, a stigma to them. Of unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
of crap. And I think it's just that we don't necessarily think about what makes a good one. And I think this is a very good one. And this proves that, you know, to paint a whole genre with a very broad brush
yeah.
isn't fair. Because you could say, somebody could say, oh, I don't like romantic comedies. And you could say to them, well, you know, here's a movie that's very, very funny.
Very, very funny.
It's
I
got
agree.
A lot of football in it. If you're a guy, there's no, like, apparently,
it does.
You know, there's a lot of a lot of football talk. Jennifer Lawrence really gets into that at one point.
She's very good.
And it's still like I was getting moved at the end. I was getting a little misty in the love.
To see
angle.
If it would all come down.
Yeah, it's. I think it's a sign of romantic comedy done well.
Because you'd never start out describing it as a romantic comedy.
Mm-mm.
You wouldn't say, go see David O. Russell's new romantic comedy.
No.
Like, that sentence doesn't
well,
exist.
Well, I'd see that.
Well, it does now, but... No, and I think it happens to have a little romance, which is very secondary to the plot, and yet his attempt at romance with his wife is more creepy and odd, and he's strange about wanting to get back together with her. And did you notice the funny trope that they added all the way through of him having lost weight and he looks so good? And yet we never see what he looked like before. Like, they didn't put Bradley Cooper in a fat suit.
Yeah, yeah.
I kept waiting for that photo to, like, show up on
show
the wall.
Show up what he looked like, yeah.
But they mentioned it, like, repeatedly. Like,
well,
people didn't recognize
and
it.
And he spends half the film in a garbage bag.
Running around so he could sweat.
Yes, yes.
It's weird.
It's a lot of great little touches like that. I said to you earlier, there's a scene in a diner between Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Lawrence, and we do apologize. I know we're talking like in very, very broad specifics, but again, we're trying to tell people like how much we like this movie and little things that we liked about the movie,
mm-hmm.
without giving the whole damn thing away 3 months early. But there is a scene between the two of them, which acting, directing, editing.
Mm.
Is one of the best scenes I've seen in a long time. It is just, it's got a great rhythm to it. They
it
deliver
really does.
The lines amazingly. We were saying earlier, it's no surprise that now they're dating because they have a really good chemistry together.
They do, and Bradley Cooper seems to have, like, it's not that he was phoning in a lot of the time. I think he was genuinely learning how to be such a good leading actor for a long time. And in that scene, he does show that he's really good at it. Like, he's risen above maybe his TV roots. He's risen above some of the less than wonderful stuff he did earlier. And even Limitless was not there. But that scene really made it, like, his reactions to what she was saying.
I forgot about Limitless. That was where my eyes. Okay, I will check that out. I saw him in another film at the festival called The Place Beyond the Pines. He's also amazing in that. He's got a lot to do in that movie, and it really takes him in a different direction. That one, I have no idea when that's coming out. I think it might be sometime in next year. It's one of these movies where we got so many good things out of so many people.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer Lawrence has been on a great little run lately, so it's good to see her.
But it's so different. So different than other things she's done.
Yes.
She has some of the same facial expressions, and she whips the lines out, but she's done an accent that's not an accent.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, she's doing a voice that I wouldn't recognize as hers.
Right.
But it's not...
Bradley Cooper's not playing the... Lately he's been playing the edgy pretty boy.
Mm-hmm.
He's not, like, here he's a much more broken version who's just, like, you know, trying to talk his way out of every situation.
Out of everything. Just let me explain myself.
Yes, yes, exactly. I think he says that, like, 17,000 times.
And no one does.
No, it's a great film. So, That was a great start to a Sunday, for sure, at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Something like that.
And I wanted to ask you, because we're getting close to the end of your festival experience. You've got one screening left to go.
Yep, 9 out of 10 done.
9 out of 10 done in not even 72 hours.
Nope.
This is your first festival. Like, a week ago, when you got all your tickets and you kind of mapped out what you were going to be doing, like, did you have any kind of forethought as to what this weekend was going to be?
Any kind of idea in your head? When I bought the tickets in June, or the package for 10 tickets, which is actually remarkably easy. It was just you go online and you just buy it.
We're all surprised, actually, to be entirely honest.
It was that easy.
Yeah.
And then last week you get a time, they let you go online, you pick tickets. That was remarkably straightforward.
We're doubly shocked about that.
That was remarkably straightforward. I didn't get everything I was hoping for because I kind of planned out a schedule. A really, really broad one with lots of things and random choices on it. There was only one I planned everything else around.
Right.
I wanted to see the sessions, which I did this afternoon.
That's my MO. I don't know if I actually specifically told you that or not, but I usually start with one movie
mm-hmm.
and let everything else fall in. Like, for me this year, it was To the Wonder. It was the Terrence Malick film that I'm going to see on Tuesday.
Right.
That's the starting point. Like, circle that on the calendar and then go out from there.
Right.
So it worked out. Yeah.
And then some of it was just about filling a time slot. Like, a random one that I added last night was just filling a time slot. I literally had 4 hours, and it's like, because I'm a movie buff, what do you do with 4 empty hours in a city with thousands of movie theaters?
Dozens.
You go to the movies. I actually thought that. I'm like, oh, I've got 4 hours. I could go to the movie. Oh, I've just been to 4 movies today. It was one of those moments. But no, I had no idea what I was going to expect.
And so, like, tell people about the experience. Like, some of the film, you've seen stuff that I'm not going to see.
Right.
You've actually seen, considering you only had 10 slots to work with, you've seen a very broad range of stuff.
Yes. Randomly, I've seen 2 Spanish language films. I've seen a film in French Haitian. I've seen a film in 2/3 Dutch. I've seen a documentary made by Irish filmmakers about a New York photograph.
Right.
I've seen Argo with Ben Affleck, which actually turned out to be an amazing choice. Who knew?
Mm-hmm. And Silver Linings, same thing.
And that's about it. Wrapped it all up. It's a really broad. I didn't get to see some of the Japanese films I was hoping to see. They just didn't. They weren't open yet, and a couple others weren't open yet at the right time.
And with nine of your ten seen, aside from the one that we just walked out of, it sounds like you liked all 9 to varying degrees.
Yes. I would say all of them ranked above a 2 substantially, and several of them were 5 out of 5.
Okay. Which is, now, that's rare, to be honest. Like, certainly, we go on very, very broad information. Very, very narrow information. You go on like a paragraph or two.
A sentence or two.
You were telling me you were looking through trailers, and some of the trailers are completely.
That's how I saw Jackie. That's how I chose Jackie.
Okay, but some of the other ones, especially some of the foreign ones, are completely nondescript.
Some of them have no words whatsoever.
Yeah. Didn't you say there was one where it was like just like horses?
It was just three horses standing there for like 2.5 minutes.
Has there been any surprises to the experience?
The waiting in line, a little bit surprising.
Oh, did I not warn you about that?
No, you mentioned it many times as a concept, but the reality of it, like, it was pouring rain yesterday as I waited for 90 minutes for Argo. Like, raincoat, umbrella, headphones, listening to podcasts.
Right.
That was surprising.
Surprised, like, with the amount of time, or just that it is.
Okay. Like, and then we went there today, and everywhere, it's not like you go and you're, like, the loser movie buff who's at the front of the line.
Mm.
No, if you go 90 minutes early to some of these, you're still, like, 200 people back, it feels like.
Right.
Which sometimes means you're behind three movies ahead of you.
Yeah.
But you're at least, like, 50 or 60 people back. Like, I can't even imagine what time that first person gets in line.
Yeah.
And I've done strategic waiting. I'm a very big fan of going to New York City and strategically waiting for free things.
Right.
But this wasn't... the lines were kind of surprising. Just that everybody does it. It just is.
Mm-hmm.
And at no point did I get a little handout that said, you must show up really early for these.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because
you'd learn quickly.
Yeah, well, I was kind of like shepherding a few of you guys who were coming from out of town about the little ins and outs. And I think the one thing I did say was 60 minutes ahead of the show, the queue usually starts.
Right.
Which, if you've noticed, that's pretty much bang on.
It's set up by 60 minutes up, but you are,
oh, no, no, like,
you're,
I mean, like, people
set.
People start, people are starting to queue. Like, if you walk up an hour ahead, the odds that you're like the first dozen people in, probably not slim. By the time you get to 1 hour out, you've got about 50 people at least, which is on the surface, it's absurd.
Right.
Because if you were to go to a movie, for an average movie, even an opening weekend, maybe you're getting there 30 minutes ahead if it's a really busy...
Maybe in a city.
Yeah, in a city. If it's a really busy theater, if not, what, 15 minutes, 10 minutes?
I think near where I live, I have queued for The Hunger Games maybe 20 minutes ahead. On opening night.
Right.
And otherwise, 5 minutes before.
And at the same time, the funny thing about the lines, for anybody who's never been here, is there's a couple things going on. First of all, there's a lot of talk.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I've met some fantastic people.
We just made a new friend upstairs.
Oh, my God. He was great.
Yeah.
He was so nice.
Yes.
He's so excited about the blogging, podcasting community. I can't even tell you.
He just found a whole group of friends.
I'm
not sure. People come in and out.
Mm-hmm.
People, like, we rally.
But it's cool. Like, it's not... At first, I was nervous about that. Like...
Oh, yeah. Like,
the
when
looks
I,
that I thought I was going
gonna,
to get. Because I would have given them.
Right.
But... And I think I did in my first line or two. But then you just kind of chill out about it, and if 20 people jumped in line right ahead of me, there wouldn't be space, let's just say.
Yeah,
it would be annoying.
Because we're on city streets. We're on very busy city streets.
And they push
streets.
You up against the walls a lot.
Yes, they
so,
do.
So, like, 20 people... No, but 2 people jump in and out. They're never going to actually conflict with your seats. Plus, you all have tickets.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
I mean, in the rush line, the rush line's where you need to... You just want to hope to get the extra tickets of people who either didn't show up or the show didn't sell out or some version of that.
Mm-hmm.
People jumping that line got looks.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It says only you can only save spot for one other person.
Right.
So.
And from our end of things as well, the line was kind of the social little gathering spot.
Oh, it was
where,
great. When it wasn't pouring rain.
When it wasn't pouring rain. But I'm thinking more of like today where we went along the line and we found our friend Corey Atads and we were talking to him and other people joined us and it was catching up and that kind of thing. And
the saving of seats and whatnot, because I think I went to my first... Five movies, six movies alone.
Yeah.
Which was awesome. Yeah, I was going to say,
how was that? Because that's kind of brave, first of all, for somebody who's going to the festival for the first time
right. In
a city they don't know all that well.
I do a metro system fairly well.
Yes,
so.
But I'm of course a purveyor of going to movies alone. So are you.
Yeah.
But that many, that fast, like that stacked on top of one another.
Yeah.
And you were saying even that was cool because again, it was a social experience because you would sit down and talk to this person.
Yeah, you'd mentioned it was in general a social experience, and I mean, for God's sakes, we're in Canada. We're in the nicest country in the world. He's going to snarf his teeth.
You make us sound like Switzerland.
No, you're nicer than Switzerland. Jesus. They're Frenchy.
Oh, okay. Oh, God.
You keep your Frenchy in one place.
Yes, we do. Yeah.
But in Toronto and in Ontario and Ottawa in general, everybody's really nice. Like, the weird thing is, though, I met mostly Americans in my line.
Oh, yeah.
We blend together. I see out the same couple at 3 screenings in a row.
Okay.
Really? We just waved. I mean, we were like, hey, you're here. Great. And I sat next to a very nice couple who, like, watched my bag when I went to the bathroom. And you feel okay asking that.
Yeah,
because they've already asked you.
The funny thing, of course, is that I myself try not to get too used to that. Because next week when I go back to normal. No, that's not the norm. It's only this community of people who do this kind of craziness of just seeing the movies over and over and over. And then we all know we're all in it together for the same thing. It's something I've actually kind of forgotten about is the line experience and meeting new people and what did you see and I heard this was
lots
good
about what did you see.
Yeah.
And you do feel like a celebrity a little bit for like a moment if you've seen something really cool that other people haven't seen yet.
I'm still rocking the I saw the American Beauty card.
Yes.
That seems to kind of get everybody.
I have done very well with my Argo screening in every line.
Yeah, well, and rightfully so. Like, Lord knows, you've got me like fevered up to see it. It wasn't high on my radar until then. So, if you had like one like favorite memory from the weekend, we still have like half a day to go. One more screen to go. We're gonna go see Edward Burns' new film, The Fitzgerald Family Christmas. In September. We're gonna see that tomorrow. But do you have a favorite memory from the weekend at all?
In terms of the movie,
just the whole thing. You can tell me like you had a really good donut or something, but one.
Panera was great, I gotta admit. But no, there's a moment in Argo where all the tension that's been building releases, and the entire theater cheered. They clapped. Like, if they could have risen to their feet and heard the next line of what was gonna come, they would have.
Huh.
The theater was just so energized. That was amazing. But I gotta say, sitting through the sessions this afternoon, with Courtney Small to my left and Andrew Robinson to my right, and it's like, I didn't know these people 3 hours ago. And at the end of the movie, Andrew leans over and goes, it was so nice to meet you, but I gotta run out. And it's like, this is kind of awesome.
Yes.
It just is. I mean, hanging out with you and Tom was so much fun at Silver Linings. Like, hearing the voices of the in person of all these voices I've been listening to
right
in various places, vlogs, podcasts, my own podcast, my own Skype experiences, like hearing them next to you in a theater is different. It sounds the same, but you've reached a different level.
And well, and especially because you're gathering together doing the very thing that gathered us together in the first place.
Exactly.
Right? Well, very cool. Let's talk about Silver Linings Playbook. And, I almost persuaded you to try and come back next weekend. Because there are two, I think that'd be pushing my luck. But that's the plan for next year. Next year, you're going to come in for the first weekend, go back to work, and then come back for 2 more days.
It could happen.
There we go. That's been part one of Wicked Little Town. There will be more of these. I don't know how soon, but very soon. The festival does go until Sunday, the 17th, and tickets are available at tiff.net. You can find all of my writings on thematinee.ca/tiff, including more episodes as they come. And until then, for the live and lovely Jess Rogers, I am the live and not so lovely Ryan McNeil, and we'll see you at the matinee and at tiff.